The Head Bakken Report, produced by the Bakken Experts, head companies founded in 1945.
We thoroughly enjoyed his presentation at the 2014 Williston Basin Petroleum Conference, and he's our guest today. The Managing Director and Senior Analyst covering exploration and production for Global Hunter Securities, Michael Kelly, joins us. From the Hegg Companies, this is the Hegg Bakken Report.
Here are the latest news from Bakken newsmakers. Subscribe to the Hegg Bakken Report podcast on iTunes at heggcompanies.com/podcast.
From the Hegg Companies, Dickinson, North Dakota studios in the heart of the Bakken, this is the Hegg Bakken Report podcast for the fourth week of July 2014. The Bakken rig count stands at 192, and West Texas Intermediate crudes traded at $102.07 a barrel at press time. We'll be back with Michael Kelly of Global Hunter Securities coming up on the Hegg Bakken Report.
For the finest in luxury living, the Minot North Highlands Apartments and Villas welcomes you home. Minot North Highlands features spacious, furnished corporate housing with underground parking, a 30-seat movie theater, a large swimming pool and hot tub, plus a basketball court, fitness center, and a family playground complex. Minot North Highlands Apartments. You know you have arrived. For information, call Jackie at 605-336-2111.
Waiting list now open for 2014.
If you need workforce housing in the heart of the Bakken, Amber Hills Lodge in Wofford City is the answer. Amber Hills Lodge has private suites, kitchen, and on-site laundry, DirecTV with NFL ticket, high-speed internet, and more. There are long-term and short-term leases available. Amber Hills Lodge, conveniently located 1 mile south of the latest grocery, retail, shopping, and restaurant development in Wofford City. For more information, go to amberhillslodging.com or call Jackie at 605-336-2111.
Our guest today is a managing director and senior analyst covering exploration and production for Global Hunter Securities. He had an awesome presentation at this spring's Williston Basin Petroleum Conference. Michael Kelly, welcome to the Hegg Bakken Report.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Excited to be here and talk with you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. What is it that you do with Global Hunter?
Yeah, so I'm a senior analyst here, actually the head of our E&P research department here, which is comprised of four senior analysts. And really what we do here is each one of the senior analysts has a set of publicly traded E&P companies that we analyze, basically try to assess the future growth prospects for each one of these companies, analyze its resource base, its inventory, and its acreage positions, and then try to boil it down to whether it's a good investment opportunity and either assign a buy, sell, or hold recommendation on it. And we publish research stating our thesis on each one of these stocks. Hopefully our clients, which are institutional investment managers, hedge fund guys, think we bring something interesting to the table and trade through our trading desk and, you know, make money through commissions.
And is that generally the focus of Global Hunter Securities as a whole?
We specialize around energy companies, but we do, you know, multiple industries and sectors. We have a shipping team, an industrials team that really kind of centers around opportunities that deal with energy as well. But we have both research and banking, and I'm on the research side here, specifically looking at the E&P companies.
Generally, who are your clients?
Clients are, you know, big mutual fund portfolio managers and also hedge fund clients.
We saw you at the Williston Basin Conference in May. How was that? How did it go, and what was it like for you?
You know, it was excellent. Had a real good time in Bismarck, and, you know, it was extremely well attended. And, you know, I'm still getting feedback. I actually had a call early this morning from a group of real estate investors who saw my presentation, which was really focused on, okay, what's the next potential Bakken that's out there? And we assessed some other plays throughout the country. And, you know, it was an interesting topic, and I was happy with the feedback that we got from it.
It was titled The Next Best Thing, and it was standing room only, full of executives and experts. Was that a tough crowd, or what was that like?
Well, you know, I was just glad that I didn't have to go after, like, Sean Hannity or a professional. So, you know, they stuck me in one of the smaller rooms, so it wasn't as daunting as being in front of the whole 5,000 strong that were there. But, you know, it was a great opportunity to get out there. And, you know, I love this topic. I moved down to Houston 3 years ago to join Global Hunter from St. Louis, Missouri, because I'm extremely passionate about the energy industry and wanted to get in the heart of it. So, you know, I was really thrilled to be invited up there to talk to everybody, and I thought it went well.
Your presentation early on highlights three emerging plays, the Tuscaloosa Marine Shale, the DJ Basin, and the Utica. Can you touch on the Tuscaloosa Marine Shale play a bit?
Sure, yeah, and that's an exciting one. And, you know, everybody kind of, the household names, especially if you're an energy investor, is in terms of these shale plays in the Bakken, the Eagle Ford, and then the Permian. And, you know, we did spend a decent amount of time talking about the Permian, which is, you know, kind of well, and it's probably the third inning of what the ultimate potential is there. But the TMS, or the Tuscaloosa Marine Shale, is probably, you know, this is like the top of the first inning. And, you know, this straddles the border of Louisiana and Mississippi. And this is now we've seen some spectacular wells drilled, you know, 50 miles apart, which, you know, bodes pretty well for the ultimate aerial extent of this play and what the ultimate potential of it could be. So we've got the fairway is being defined right now. We've had a number of wells now come in over 1,000 barrels a day, and it's pretty much all oil. And that's really a positive sign for a play that's, you know, this early on in its progression here.
What do you know about the economics of that particular play, and what are the drillers finding, and what potential does it hold?
The debate on this play right now is that you know, the recoveries have been very impressive to date. I mentioned that we've had a number of wells with initial production rates over 1,000 barrels a day. There's been speculation that we could have ultimate EURs or recoveries on a per-well basis, be it 600,000 up to 800,000 or even higher than that per well, which, you know, is kind of in your Bakken territory in terms of what you'd expect on a per-well basis. The debate, though, is, you know, on the cost side of things. This is still the beginning of the year. I'd say that, you know, the operators out here were struggling to get costs down to even, you know, $13 million per well. And that is what kind of the Wall Street folks are concentrating on. I think the belief that this is going to be a formation that produces oil has become consensus thought. Yet the cost side of the equation, and whether this is going to be a play where you could get $10 million or under well costs and make it more competitive with a more mature Bakken type play is the big debate. But if you could get the cost down to $10 million and keep a, you know, a recovery per well at 600,000 barrels or higher, you know, this is going to garner a lot of capital, and there's going to be a lot of activity in this play.
Your presentation then highlighted early inning plays. Explain what an early inning play is. Is it just that?
Yeah, it really is. It's just that. It's where you're just seeing guys go out and do the initial science work and test in their theory of why this is going to be an area that's worthy of investment and exploration. And, you know, we've got a handful of things that are always going on across the country, and some of these pan out, and, you know, could be a Bakken or Eagleford, but most, you know, ultimately just get shelved. But it presents a very compelling opportunity. The risk reward's high, but the rewards are extremely high for guys that get latched to one of these early inning plays, and, you know, acreage costs are next to nothing to get into even a Tuscaloosa Marine Shale right now, relative to the more mature plays. And for a guy like Goodrich Petroleum, who we follow that's out in the Tuscaloosa Marine Shale with over 300,000 net acres, I think their average cost for their whole position is under $500 an acre. And if this play really takes off and becomes the next Eagleford or Bakken, you know, we could see 20,000 an acre type metrics applied to this, to their position. And it'll take a genius to see that that would be an absolute home run for the company. So that's what we're in the business of trying to figure that out, the likelihood of that really coming to fruition.
One example of an early inning play that you gave was the Powder River Basin. Who are the players there, and what economics are coming from that play, and does the Powder River Basin have the potential that the Bakken holds?
The Powder River Basin, which is, you know, a little bit south of the Bakken in Wyoming, this is one of these plays where not a ton of well data has come out of it yet, and it is truly, you know, even a step behind the Tuscaloosa Marine Shale. But we had some really encouraging results come out of last quarter's kind of earnings cycle. And it's one of the most respected and revered companies in the U.S. in terms of being just a leader on the exploration side of things is EOG Resources. And they came out and stated that they think their Powder River Basin is capable of generating project rates of return at 100% type levels. So this is that was a pretty big statement. That puts it up there with what they're doing at the Bakken and in the Eagle Ford and in some areas of the Permian as well. So that really caught investors by surprise. You know, I don't think anybody was expecting them to come out and you know, talk that positively about a play that's really this early on. That's what's got Wall Street's attention. The other players up there, SM Energy has a big swath of acreage there, and then Chesapeake has over 300,000 net acres, more on the southern end of the play.
What should an entrepreneur know about that play?
This is one where it does seem like you have some complex geology, and it does change rapidly from, you know, even just 10 miles across the field, where it's really deep on the western portion of the acreage or in the basin and shallows to the eastern portion. And, you know, if you're in the western portion of the play, it seems like well costs are going to be an issue, not too unlike what you're getting in the Tuscaloosa Marine Shale. And so right now we're trying to really define the aerial extent of the play and what the recoveries on a per well basis will be, and ultimately if the drilling days could come down and the well costs could come down. SM Energy is been out there talking about drilling, you know, 1 million barrel wells, which is phenomenal. But again, we're about $16 million well cost right now. So I think for that, an entrepreneur has to know that they've got to have deep pockets to come play in that that area of the country if they really want to get involved.
Our conversation with Michael Kelly of Global Hunter Securities in Houston, Texas, continues momentarily on the Hegg Bakken Report.
Whether your needs are long-term or short-term, Green Door Business Condos and Self-Storage in Watford City has just what you're looking for. They're open 24 hours a day and are a fully gated premises with cameras and climate-controlled units that will put you at ease that your office and storage items are safe and secure. Green Door Business Condos offers high-speed internet, training rooms, conference facilities, garage and storage yard for your equipment. Give Kelsey a call today, 605-336-2111, and find out about their great rates and availability. Get on their waiting list now for the end of 2014.
Are you looking for apartments with luxury, location, and convenience? Then check out Watford City's newest addition, Auburn Ridge Apartments, located off Highway 23 in the Hunter's Run Master Planned Community. Auburn Ridge offers all the amenities of comfortable living in the heart of the Bakken. Auburn Ridge offers studio, one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom units with on-site laundry, direct TV, high-speed internet, exterior decks, private and paved parking, and the options of furnished apartments. Auburn Ridge will also have you feeling... Auburn Ridge will have you feeling at home in no time. Auburn Ridge is now leasing apartments for December 2014. Contact Kelsey at 605-336-2111 to find out about leasing options and pricing.
Our guest today on the Hegg Bakken Report is a managing director and senior analyst covering exploration and production for Global Hunter Securities, Mike Kelly. Mike, another early inning play that you highlighted was the lower Three Forks, being that that's a play close to home. Let's talk about it. Your presentation had a heat map in it. What counties are going to be the most affected by this play?
The lower Three Forks is it's really exciting, where, you know, ultimately you're going to get more bang for your buck in the Bakken, where ultimately instead of just having one reservoir to exploit and drill from the same surface location, you're going to be able to go underneath that middle Bakken and take a look at the Three Forks, and some areas get as good a results as the Bakken, if not better. And it really seems to be, you know, the guys over at Continental Resources do a good job of kind of dumbing this down and saying, think of the Bakken as a bowl, and really kind of the center of that bowl is like right around the Nessunanik line and in McKenzie and down into Dunn County, and that's where at the center of that bowl you have the most potential for Three Forks intervals to be prospective. So you've seen kind of that heat map that we showed there. The best Three Forks wells have been in right around kind of eastern portion of McKenzie County down to a little bit south of that, and then a little bit north into to Williams and over into Montreal as well. So it really doesn't seem to veer too far off of where your best Bakken wells have been have been as well.
Do you have any initial results of the play and any predictions for it?
It's a lot of the guys have talked about it. I think the rule of thumb is, you know, I think Wall Street has it dialed in that the Three Forks might be about 10 to 15% less prospective, or have 10 to 15% lower EURs versus the middle Bakken, kind of across the board. And that might be generalizing things too much, but it really should look fairly similar to the economics of the Bakken in the areas where you're going to get, you know, have that Three Forks potential. And what's exciting about the Three Forks is, you know, it's not just one interval, too. We're talking about, you know, the upper Three Forks and then potentially up to three or four benches of it, which may ultimately be developed independently. So you could come in the heart of a Three Forks area and drill middle Bakken and then have potentially four different opportunities stacked right on top of it. And we're in the heart of trying to get that figured out right now. And you look to somebody like Continental Resources is really going to be the leader of doing that testing this year. And, you know, the date that I'd throw out there where you should probably get a big data dump on how this is looking is their, I think it's their September 19th Analyst Day, which they are based out of Oklahoma City. And a number of us analysts will be making the trek up there to hear what their update is, and be something we're all looking for.
In your Who's Leading the Charge portion of your presentation, Mike, under the Bakken section, you bring up EOG. Can you explain what EOG is?
EOG Resources, and we mentioned them here just a few minutes ago, is having a big position and being a leader in the Powder River Basin as well. EOG is based in Houston. They're one of the largest independent E&P companies out there, and as I mentioned prior, too, just a stellar company that is universally respected, I think, amongst Wall Street, is having some of the best ops guys out there in the business. And, you know, what we highlighted at the Bakken conference was their rates that they've gotten on their wells drilled in 2013 and 2014 versus prior years' wells, or some kind of your vintages of 2011, 2012 versus what they're doing now, and you've seen drastic improvements in the Bakken. And these guys are good, and they've made the adjustments to their completion approaches, using different proppants, volumes of sand, increasing their lateral lengths, and doing a variety of things that might be over the head for this finance guy you're talking to. But it's paid out. The results speak for themselves in terms of, you know, initial production rates, even 90-day rates that are, you know, 50% better than what they've done in prior years. So that that makes a big difference in the economics, and is really, it's, you'd expect the rest of the players up there to follow suit and to really just piggyback off of what EOG's been doing.
Describe slick water fracs and what proppants are, and what do you mean when you say you have increased production through the use of increased proppants?
Yeah, and that's it really is increased proppant. And so the amount of sand volume that is being used in the Bakken now, just a general trend, it's going higher. And, you know, for proppant to explain it, this is, I think, the way it was explained to me when I first started this industry, is it's basically like pumping down into the into the formation a bunch of bouncy balls that really hold open the rock and let the oil flow through it. So the more sand or proppin or bouncy balls that you throw in the formation and hold it open and create these conduits for the oil, the better. And, you know, that's the way at least I think of it. And it's been, you know, proven out quite nicely in the Bakken in the last year or so. Slick water is a different type of frack, which carries the proppant and tends to just break it up in a little bit of a different fashion. And it gets more coverage with that frack and distributes the proppant in what's seeming to be a more efficient manner for ultimate recovery of the oil and gas.
You talked about Whiting and what they're doing here in the Bakken. Describe some of the methods and technology that Whiting's using, like sliding sleeves, and what does that mean? And you also mentioned plug and perf and coil tubing. Talk about that technology for a moment, Michael.
And this is, this is a little bit, EOG-esque what Whiting's doing, and they've been a leader. They're a little bit of a smaller company than EOG, and they've got they definitely are levered to the pocket. So, you know, they get in with their investor base and really concentrate on what they're doing up in the pocket. They've given a lot of good schematics to go through their investor presentations of exactly what they're doing. And, you know, sliding sleeve is a method is a completion technique that you'd use to when you frack these wells, and that's kind of the early stage development in the Bakken. Everything was done with sliding sleeve, and Whiting was a big proponent of it. It's kind of quick and easy way to get your frack jobs completed, and that was really the off the shelf type technology they incorporated across the Bakken. Now, what they've done here as of late is moved to a plug and perf completion technique, which is a little bit more complicated, a little bit more costly, takes a little bit longer, but you're seeing that the recoveries of the oil and gas make it worth it. And it's just a little bit of a different completion technique. I'm not sure if I fully understand the differences between the two, but Whiting's been experimenting with the plug and perf after those such as EOG and others have been had success with it, and it really is paying dividends. They've gone with the plug and perf, and then also experimented with cementing in the liner of the production casing, essentially, in the well, versus using swell packers before. So, you know, the gist of it is that, you know, the Bakken still is progressing in terms of figuring out exactly what the right technology is, and I'd expect that we're still going to have recovery rates go higher and the economics push higher here as more work's done on that front.
You talked about frack stage spacing and open versus cemented. What does that mean, and what new technologies do you see that'll affect the increase in production rates in the coming years?
Yeah, you know, the frack stages is another thing that, you know, if you look at Bakken, first time I went up there was in 2008, and the play was really starting to just take off, and, you know, we're now drilling wells up there that would be 2 miles long in some instances, and have up to, I think we've seen a 60-stage frack job by EOG completed there as well. And, you know, back in the early days, these were short laterals. You know, 4,000 feet would have been a long lateral. 10 frack stages would have been the max number of frack stages done. So what is happening is the move to extend the lateral lengths and then increase the number of stages. And, you know, I just think about it as in its simplest form that, you know, the more exposure you could get to the reservoir and have an increased amount of frack stages, and back to what we were talking about before, an increased amount of proppant, it really is, you know, driving the recovery rates higher. And it's not just happening in the Bakken. This is now being implemented across the board in other plays as well. There's the cost-benefit analysis of it, of course. It costs more to have to drill a longer lateral and to have more proppant pumped into the well. But what we're seeing is they really haven't even hit that optimal level yet of where it probably crosses that line. It's no longer beneficial to to add in terms of stages of profit. So the industry's trying to figure that out right now, and I would say that's probably the most impactful thing that's going on: longer laterals, more stages, a little bit of changes in terms of the completion fluid that's being used, or the frac fluid that's being used, or the recipe. Every quarter we seem to get another incremental update about something being tested up there, and it's been impressive in terms of what the results have been following it.
Later, you brought up how Continental Resources is testing 660-foot spacing. Elaborate on that and explain the significance.
Continental and Whiting, Halcon, a few of these other players, Triangle Petroleum, are all testing tighter spacing. And really what that is, why that's significant, is it presents the opportunity to just drill more wells on a set acreage position. So previously we had thought that, you know, maybe only one well per section would drain an entire, you know, 1380 section up there in the Bakken. And now we are at the point where we think that if you space these wells 660 feet apart, they won't communicate with each other, and you'll get very similar recovery rates on a per-well basis. And that essentially translates into 8 wells per section versus, you know, just one in the early days back in 2008. So we are now getting through kind of the initial testing period to see if wells spaced that close together is going to work. And if it does, it just increases the overall inventory count up in the Bakken. And, you know, we've heard these prognosticators that the Bakken is maturing, production is going to soon flatline there. And, you know, this, with more wells to drill there, you know, should tell you that, you know, that's not going to be the case anytime soon. And I throw that kind of in the same camp as, you know, the delineation of the Three Forks opportunities as well. So, you know, good things are happening up there in terms of, you got more Middle Bakken wells to drill than originally thought, as we learned that we could space these things closer together. And also, we've got a whole other set of opportunities with the Three Forks as well. So that's a big part of the second half of this year, is to have that 660 spacing blessed. And, you know, we're going to get some data here actually in a week or two from Continental Resources on that front when they report their earnings. And I wouldn't be surprised to hear some data on that front too from Whiting next week when it reports its earnings.
Finally, Michael, a question we like to ask our guests on the Hegg Bakken Report: are there any books that have influenced you in your life?
You know, the one that has come up a few times lately when I've talked with people is the Black Swan, which talks about the unlikelihood of events happening and how it just completely changes the course of history, where, you know, we could all sit here today trying to forecast what oil production is going to be, but there's going to be a disruptive event that ultimately comes into fruition that changes the course of the entire industry. And we've really seen that here already in the oil and gas industry. I mean, we were destined in, you know, early 2000s to be importing all of our oil and gas, and it was a dire situation. Technology changes with drilling horizontally, with fracking wells, has been a game changer and has allowed us to get to the point where we're now talking about having to export oil here in the U.S. So I thought that was a pretty neat book of how to, you know, just basically look at the landscape of across a number of sectors, and basically how guys like me that just forecast things on a daily basis don't put too much stock in guys like us, because things are going to change.
Your presentation at the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference was amazing. It was very, very informative. We look forward to perhaps enjoying a presentation by you again sometime real soon. Our guest today, the Managing Director and Senior Analyst for Global Hunter Securities, Michael Kelly. Thanks for being on the Hegg Bakken Report.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and hope to see you. Get me up on that schedule next year in that Bakken conference. I loved it.
And if you would like more information on Global Hunter Securities, look them up online at ghsecurities.com.
If you want more of the Hegg Bakken Report, you can subscribe to the Hegg Bakken Report at iTunes, or go to HegbakkenReport.com. That's HegbakkenReport.com, where you can get all of the transcripts and audio for past newsmakers in the United States energy industry and much, much more. Follow the Hegbakken Report on Twitter at HegbakkenReport or on Facebook. Until next time, thanks for listening.